What is up, guys? I'm Jordan, and I'm with my old man, Howie, and welcome to episode 6 of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Howie, the old man, and this is episode 6. We're so excited with this podcast as we continue to record every week. I think we're up to like over 200 listens over our first 5 shows. We're really excited this week as we're going to preview week 10 in the NFL. Continuing a theme that we've had for our last couple episodes, we actually have a special guest joining us. This man is a fantasy football expert. In fact, last year, he was ranked number 3 by Fantasy Pros in the top rankings of accuracy for fantasy experts. So just to put that in perspective for the folks who are listening, you talk about your sites that you go to, like CBS Sportsline, ESPN, Yahoo, NFL.com, RotoWorld, and the different bigger name places that people go for rankings from week to week. If you were to take a look at the rankings that are done by Fantasy Pros, you'd probably really be surprised to see that most of the names that you turn to on a weekly basis are not anywhere near the top 20, 25 on that list. The man who's joining us tonight was number 3 last year. And this year, if you check out the rankings on a week-to-week basis, he's regularly in the top 10. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Ken Zales, or KZ, as he said we can call him by, from Fans Fantasy. Hey, Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys having me on. Looking forward to talking a little bit about the NFL Week 10 with you.
Awesome. Oh, awesome. Great. Do you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got into fantasy and sort of how you came to do what you do and how you do your rankings?
Sure. I've been playing fantasy sports probably since the early 80s. Started with fantasy baseball, moved into fantasy football in 1988 and started with a work league that, 10 of us got together and stayed up to the wee hours of the morning writing our stuff on a chalkboard. And, you know, back then we used to do stats by either the Baltimore Sun — I'm from Baltimore, by the way — or USA Today eventually, their sports section. And, as fantasy football grew and grew, I would buy magazines. We bought magazines back then. We just didn't go on the internet and have everything at our hands. And, and read, and it's like, I'm pretty good at this. I think I can do this. And I started a website in 2003 called fansfantasyfootball.com, and started to get a little bit of a following. We kind of deemed ourselves, fantasy football for fantasy football fans by fantasy football fans. And that's what I am. I started as a fan. I'm not somebody that went to become a journalist or anything like that, or went to college and got a degree in communications. I had a love for sports, and especially a love for football. And started doing that, and came up with a formula that I still use to this day. I am not fancy. I'm on the wrong side of 50, or the right side of 50, depending on your point of view. And I've been doing it the same way since I started in 88, and more so as quote unquote an expert in 2003. I treat my rankings as if I can choose anybody I want that week to play. And who would I want to play? Now, these are based on matchups and based on who the top players are. And, we always use old sayings like always start your studs and things like that. So there's a little bit of that, but I am not computerized. I do everything by hand. The only thing that's computerized about me is, thank God, Fantasy Pros came around and entered my life about 9-10 years ago, because they made it really easy on me. What used to take me 10, 12, 14 hours takes me about 3 now, as far as putting down rankings and getting them up on a website. And then about 6 years ago, a local online presence and monthly newspaper called PressBox decided that they were looking to get into the fantasy world and wanted a fantasy football writer. And I had had some experience with some of the people there from some local radio stuff that I've been doing on and off since 2003 as well. And, you know, the rest, you know, we kind of transitioned from Fans Fantasy Football to PressBoxOnline.com, which houses all of my information. I do the same four articles that I've basically done my entire life, which is a primer, which looks back at the week before and ahead to the week that's coming, and do rankings. I do a sleeper article, and something that's new, which is the fourth of the four that I do, is you have to do a DFS article these days and put out a FanDuel and a DraftKings lineup. So I do that as well. And labor of love, and, you know, I still enjoy it. And, you know, if anybody, you know, I'm always honored when somebody like yourselves reaches out to me and thinks I'm more important than I am.
I think that's so cool, and I love hearing that background, and I love how you talk about the fact that it's not like you're doing anything high level with statistics and stuff like that to come out with your rankings. You know, in sports these days, there's such a focus on analytics, and right. And in all sports, you know, you talk about the old school manager who just goes, you know, with his hunches and the talent that he has versus like these data mining that some of these teams do now. And it's interesting because I have to tell you, the way we came across you as a potential guest for the show is that early in the season, I'd see on my Twitter feed, you know, I follow Fantasy Pros and they'll do the weekly rankings. And I think after week one, I took a snapshot of the most accurate experts. I sent it to Jordan and I said, every week when I see these rankings, I click on each of the people on Twitter and I follow each of them. So you were one of the people that we followed. So it's just, it's like you said, it's a passion. For us, it's a father and son doing it together. As I mentioned, Jordan's on a gap year from college. And if I tell you, we watch every single game, no matter how good or how bad it is. I mean, unfortunately for me, I tend to nod off sometimes before the end of the games, especially on the Sunday, Monday, and Thursday games. But we certainly have a lot of fun with it. And we're thrilled to have you on the show.
Well, appreciate it, and I think it's fantastic that the two of you are doing this together. I think it's great stuff, and I'm glad you're having a good time with it.
Yep. Did you want to ask any questions? I mean, we had looked at your rankings for the week, you know that had come out, I think, earlier today. Not that we're going to delve too deeply into them, but I was curious, Jordan, did you see anything in the rankings you wanted to ask KZ about?
One player in particular who I have on a lot of fantasy teams, Antonio Gibson, had him ranked at like the 30 mark, which surprised me a little bit.
So, you know, it's funny. One of my coworkers, my day job is I'm an assistant athletic director for a school here. And one of the teachers there actually sent me an email about 4 hours ago with the same exact question. He's like, "What's up with Antonio Gibson? You have him lower than anybody else." And I'll tell you how I do my ranking. So when the rankings come out on Wednesday morning, I rank people based on where I would play them. And right now, my concern is that Antonio Gibson didn't practice today, and he's got a shoulder injury, which for a running back is really a problem because you run your shoulder into a brick wall every single play. Look at Christian McCaffrey. We don't know how long he's going to miss now, and he has what? A shoulder injury. I knocked him down with thinking that right now I'm not at the point where I don't think he won't play, but he's already been losing touches to J.D. McKissick in the passing game. He's only had, I forget what it is, like 3 to 6 targets in the last 4 to 5 weeks total. So in a half PPR, that's a real problem for me. He fumbled last week. Coaches don't like that. So when you take all those things together, my initial ranking is to do exactly what it did when you looked at them. I want people to understand right now, I'm not so sure he's a great play this week. So figure out why he's not a great play based on the rankings and adjust accordingly. So, you know, these things change. I do the rankings on Wednesday morning, but I also adjust them before the Thursday night game. I adjust them Friday after the Friday practices come out. And I also adjust them Sunday mornings based on the actives and inactives. So I don't, you know, the fact that he's in the 30s and everybody else probably has him in the top 15 to 20 isn't a panic thing for me right now. He doesn't play till Sunday. There's time for me to move him up and down. But if I had to play him on Thursday night, which is how I do my rankings, he wouldn't be in anything more than a flex position for me.
Okay. That's great analysis as Jordan cringes and tries to figure out what he's going to do on the waiver wire.
Here's the best part, Jordan. So I don't know how many leagues you play in, but I play in 22.
Wow.
I have 22 redraft leagues. So I have your problems or my problems. So I feel you. I do. I understand.
No, that's great analysis. And for our listeners out there, again, our guest tonight is KZ or Kenzales from @FansFantasy on Twitter. And again, as we mentioned earlier, he was the number 3 ranked expert last year by Fantasy Pros.
So without further ado, I think let's kick off week 10 with the Colts versus Titans, the Thursday night football matchup. We got the battle of the top 2 teams in their division. The Titans, I think, are coming off a win this past weekend. Derrick Henry didn't have that good of a game last weekend.
He did not.
And he's going up against one of the best run defenses this weekend. I don't think that should be a problem for him when it comes to fantasy plays, but it'll be interesting to see how well he performs this week.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those games that strikes me. It's that Thursday night uncertainty. Strange things happen. I would think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. You mentioned Derrick Henry. Obviously, you've got Tannehill, you know, steering that offense. A.J. Brown, obviously, is always a good play. On the flip side, you have the Colts. Phillip Rivers, you know, I don't know. I saw somebody post on Twitter today. The backup there is Brissett.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. Are they seeing enough out of Phillip Rivers that they might not want to give Brissett a chance? KZ, what's your thoughts on that game?
No, you guys, you just said that really, really well. Look, the Colts are one of the best defenses in the league. They give up the third least amount of points to running backs. Now, Derrick Henry, again, went up against a good run defense in the Bears last week, and he struggled.
He did.
But that doesn't mean, I mean, look, he's Derrick Henry. I mean, you're not sitting him in any situation. I think you have to temper your expectations a little bit. But we've seen him, you know, one carry 70 yards or one catch for 90 yards and a touchdown. He's impossible to sit. But I think where, you know, you're really looking is Tannehill has struggled the last couple of weeks, a little, you know, with what he was doing in the first 6 weeks, I guess, compared to that. Yeah. And you're looking at A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown has to be started, but Jonnu Smith, I mean, he had a good week last week because of the touchdown, but the Colts are the stingiest team in the league against tight ends. They're only allowing a little under 4 fantasy points per week to tight ends. So I think, you know, you look at Jonnu, he's no longer a surefire top 12 fantasy tight end. Same thing with Tannehill this week. I think you start the guys that you have to start, like A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry from the Titans. But other than that, I think you can rightfully so bench everybody else from the Colts side. I mean, we got nothing going on here. You know, the Titans are you know, they're not great against the pass, allowing the 6th most or 7th most. Fantasy points to the wide receiver position, but they get one of their starting cornerbacks back, Adoree Jackson, this week. Now, I don't know if he'll play a full snap load, but that will help them. But I don't know who we're starting for the Colts. Maybe Nyheim Hines. You want to go in that direction, but Jonathan Taylor and Jordan Wilkins, who knows what they're doing there.
Yep.
The wide receiver position, you know, T.Y. Hilton's going to play. He hasn't done a thing all year. Trey Burton's been okay, but disappeared for 2 weeks. I don't know. I kind of agree. I think it could be a really low-scoring, ugly game.
Yep. Totally agree with you there. As you said, a lot of guys to stay away from. And I have to say, KZ, a lot of great analysis off the top of your head there. I mean, you're reciting statistics and rankings, and it's very impressive.
That's it. That's as far as the statistics I go. I'll tell you how they've done so far. But if we're going into all kinds of crazy statistics with lots of initials behind them, I'm out.
Yeah, another player to keep an eye on if you're low on wide receivers is Corey Davis, who actually his brother passed away from cancer today at the age of 27. So our condolences go out to him. But if you have him, I don't think he's going to be able to play tomorrow due to his brother passing away.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So yeah, I don't think if he does play, it's going to be tough. But and condolences, of course. Didn't love him last week. Tough matchup with the Ravens. Another tough matchup this week. I have a feeling because they get that cornerback. You look at the Colts and they just don't give a lot of yards up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, we're gonna kick it over to Sunday with the Buccaneers versus the Panthers. The Buccaneers coming off a disgusting, horrible loss to the Saints. And then the Panthers are coming into the game after a really competitive game against the Chiefs where they just missed like a 70-yard field goal, but still pretty competitive. Christian McCaffrey was back. He's out this week. So I think Mike Davis has RB2 value. DJ Moore has been one of the most up-and-down receivers this year. Robbie Anderson, I think, is a consistent start. From each week, he's been pretty consistent. And you want to discuss the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, for the listeners who've heard our previous shows, I've been accused of having a man crush on Tom Brady this season. I started to get so enamored with what appeared to be coming together down in Tampa Bay, with a short offseason, no exhibition games. Obviously, they started off the season and they lost soundly to the Saints. I thought that this was going to be a statement game. They were going to come in. Drew Brees earlier in the week, they're talking about his shoulder. Maybe he was a little bit questionable. And wow, faceplant city. I don't know what else to say. I mean, just a total and complete breakdown on the Bucs side. And I would expect them to rebound nicely in this game, put a lot of points on the board, and hopefully walk away with a resounding win. If they're not going to be motivated to come back against the Panthers after last week's loss, then I think people really need to lower their expectations for them long-term going forward this season. KZ, what's your thoughts on that game?
So, I first of all, if you're the Buccaneers, you just throw away that tape and say, okay, the Saints have had our number twice. We'll just throw that one away. Here's the problem for fantasy owners with Tampa Bay. They've become a fantasy mess, and it's because they have too many good players. And, you know, look, Tom Brady has had a couple weeks like this year. But you look at the Panthers, and they're really bad against the run. Okay, so does that mean the Buccaneers, you know, see that and try to run the ball with Fournette and Jones, and how is that split done? And which one do you trust this week? It seems like Jones is the starter and Fournette's always the finisher, but also the third down back. And then we look to the passing game, which the Panthers have been really good against the pass, which is sort of, you know, because they're so bad against the run, teams don't pass a lot against them. So you look at those type of numbers going into these statistics. It's like, what does it mean? It means that they're bad against the run, so teams don't have to throw. So therefore, they look like they're really good against the pass. But you got Godwin, and you got Evans, and you got Antonio Brown now, and you got Gronk. And the addition of Antonio Brown takes away targets from everybody. So it's kind of like you're kind of forced to start these guys. I think Gronk, you can have an argument now the way he's looked for 2 weeks after – 3 weeks in a row of scoring touchdowns and looking like the guy. But it's tough for me to trust them. I think the Panthers are better than people think they are. Mm-hmm. They have been all year. And I think from a fantasy standpoint, the guy that I trust the most, and it's going to sound really weird, is Leonard Fournette. just because in a half point PPR and even a PPR, he's been getting four or five targets and catching three to four balls, and seems like he's the short yardage guy, and seems like if the Bucs get a lead, he's the guy that they're going to use to hammer it home. So I like that most of all for Tampa. For Carolina, look, you know, it's a buzzkill with Christian McCaffrey. For those owners,
one of them,
you know, we were waiting and waiting, and then he came back, and guess what? He was Christian McCaffrey. He caught 10 balls, he scored twice, and everything was great, and he put up 30 fantasy points, and now it's Mike Davis season again, which the good part about Mike Davis season is Mike Davis was really good. He's been really good. You know, DJ Moore, I don't know if we can trust him anymore. He just doesn't get targeted in the passing game right now. We'll see what happens with McCaffrey out, if we're still, if maybe he gets a couple more targets than he did last week. But Robbie Anderson's a must start. Teddy Bridgewater, you know, I mean, if you need him because you got some guys on bye this week. I mean, Tampa, again, they're a good defense. They've been pretty stingy against quarterbacks for the most part this year. They're probably in the bottom third as far as fantasy points allowed. So, you know, it's an interesting game. It should be a really good game. It's one of those games that, you know, you have starred that say, you know what, if your team's on bye, watch this football game this week because it should be entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yep. And the last thing I'd say is, as you mentioned, with Christian McCaffrey, definitely a bummer. And it's just, it's that time-honored lesson over and over that when you have a back who takes on a heavy workload one year, historically heavy and does a lot of great things, it's difficult to come back the next year and trust them. You know, I mean, it's like history shows that from time to time. But
yep.
Jordan, what's the next game we have on the slate?
We got the Philadelphia Eagles versus the G-Men.
Rematch of 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so the Giants coming off a pretty solid win against the Washington football team. And I think the Eagles are coming off a bye. They beat the Giants last time they played in a pretty good Thursday night football matchup. But a lot of fantasy guys that we need to discuss. Miles Sanders, I think, is coming back from injury this week. Travis Fulgham has been maybe top five waiver wire pickups of the year. He's producing
very good
wide receiver, low wide receiver one numbers. And then on the Giants side, Evan Ingram's finally getting his targets that he deserves. Slayton and Shepard have been doing okay, like flex numbers. And then Wayne Gallman has had a pretty solid couple of weeks, but I think Devontae Freeman is coming back, so I don't know how that's going to hold up this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a Giants fan, happy to get a win this past week. We'll take what we can get. Unfortunately, I would expect the Eagles to come out of the bye a little bit healthier. They've been banged up. You mentioned Sanders, maybe even an Alshon Jeffrey sighting, although I don't know how much he would contribute. But I do expect them to be prepared, and I would expect them to take this game at the end of the day. Casey, what's your thoughts on this one?
So the must start out of this one is Evan Ingram, and I was as critical as anybody of Evan Ingram this year, but Philadelphia is terrible against the tight end.
Yeah, I mean, they
are. It's just the way it is. I mean, every tight end seems to score against them, or a guy that they dress up like a wide receiver that plays tight end like Pittsburgh did a couple weeks ago. But you look at the Eagles are finally getting healthy. You know, with the emergence of Fulgham, like you said, which has been great, but now Jalen Reagor is healthy again. You have Dallas Goedert, who's healthy again. Miles Sanders healthy again.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the Eagles offense that we've been waiting to see all year long. And, you know, I mean, there's nothing that really scares us from the Giants. They're middle of the road defense. You know, they don't stop the run particularly well. They're pretty lenient with quarterbacks. The only thing they do well, and it'll be interesting, James Bradbury's been really, really good at being shut down corner this year for the Giants. So, you know, Fulgham, which is he's been great, and you're starting him. Let's just put that out there. But I think that is a concern with James Bradbury, who's been so, so good. If they get into a shadow situation, you may have to temper your expectations, you know, more of a low wide receiver two maybe when it's all said and done this week based on some matchup stuff. the Giants offensively, they're tough to trust. Look, Slayton disappeared last week. I think, what, did he catch a ball? Did he finally catch a ball last week? Remember, and it may have been late. He may have caught one short ball. You know, Shepard's a really good player. Golden Tate, who missed last week, he comes back. So, I mean, that messes up the whole, how many targets do we have available? And like you said, Gallman's been very, let's call him serviceable. I'm not going to call him good. He's fallen into the end zone a couple of times, so you get that in fantasy. But if Freeman plays, that kind of ruins everything for both of them. But I like the I do like the Eagles offensively here. I think Wentz is going to be a top 12 guy for me this week. Sanders is probably close to it. Wentz all said and done. Rager is probably a flex guy, and Dallas Goedert is a top five tight end for me. So lots to like there against a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, and I'll just finish with the Eagles. As you indicated, they're getting healthy, and they've been competitive, much more competitive than people thought, even when they were banged up. And I think Wentz has, you know, in the past, he's had this injury-prone label, and at the end of the day, he's stayed relatively healthy. And when he's on the field and he's healthy, he'll work with the weapons that he has to keep that team in game. So,
absolutely.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, we're going to continue on to probably one of the games of the day is Bills versus the Cardinals. Cardinals coming off a tough defeat to a surprising Miami Dolphins team.
Yeah, that was very surprising.
And the Bills are coming off a huge win against Seattle. Like, dominance by Josh Allen. Stephon Diggs has been a monster each week. Probably one of the best route runners in the NFL. And then on the Cardinals side, you got Christian Kirk, who I think is surprising a lot of people. Just seems to find the end zone each week, whether it's on one target or 10 targets. He always seems to find the end zone. And D-Hop coming off a pretty, I think this was his worst week of the year so far. I think he had 3 catches for 30 yards. So I expect him to have a pretty big game. And whether it's Kenyon Drake or Chase Edmonds, I expect them to have a pretty solid day as well.
No, that's definitely a disappointing game for DeAndre Hopkins. But the beneficiary in that game, and actually the beneficiary of the last couple weeks, who I'm really appreciating, is Christian Kirk, who's been on a bit of a touchdown binge the last couple weeks. I think against Buffalo, there is a chance that he may have another opportunity to score because, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be covered by Buffalo's
Tre'Davious White.
Tre'Davious White. The other thing that I want to point out in this game that's sort of interesting is that the Miami Dolphins defense, if you're looking for a defense, not only this week, but in matchups going forward when they play the Jets in New England, they have been under the radar very good this year. In fact, this past weekend, I played the Cardinals defense against the Dolphins, and in my main money league, they ended up scoring 6 points, and the Dolphins scored 11. For those people out there who are looking for under the radar defense, even if you're not going to use them this week, if you want to stash them on your bench, if you look at their performance over the course of this season, they've been very good. On the Buffalo side of things, of course, you've got Josh Allen, who rebounded nicely this past week off of a couple of games that were a little bit subpar compared to what he did earlier in the season. You know, you've got Stephon Diggs, of course, who always does his thing, and Zach Moss, who appears to be taking hold over that backfield. KZ, your thoughts on that game?
Yeah. You broke that down really well. Love your thought about the Dolphins. They've been terrific defensively all year and very under the radar. I think I'm starting them in my DFS this week. But you look at this game. Look, it's a fantasy game. We're starting everybody outside of maybe Singletary. I think you can bench him. I think we're seeing Moss take over that job. He's the short yardage guy. He's the goal line guy. Seemingly, he's getting more carries every week, and just Singletary is basically only used in passing situations right now. But everybody's viable here. I mean, Hopkins is going to struggle again this week, probably with White a little bit. But he's a star. I mean, we're talking about one of the premier wide receivers. It's one of those never sit your stud type situations. He doesn't need a lot, and he's a red zone target. Yeah. The funny part here is that, you know, the Bills were expected to be a really good defense this year. I mean, if when we go back to fantasy drafts, they were probably one of the top four or five that were going in drafts, and based on last year, they've been terrible as far as fantasy. You can run on them, you can throw. I mean, it's been terrible. They can't cover a tight end. The good part is that Arizona doesn't use tight ends, so it really doesn't matter. You know, the flip side, the Cardinals defense, you know, we saw them for a couple of weeks, you know, maybe week four, week five, take a step forward, and they've given it all back. I mean, they're in the bottom third in just about every category against every position. Maybe they're a little bit of a tougher run defense than anything else, so teams throw on them a lot. But from a fantasy standpoint, we love this game. You're starting everybody. I mean, I don't know, you know, I'd like Kenyon Drake to stay out one more week so we can have a full slate of Chase Edmonds. So, but we'll see how that works out. When they've played together, they've both been kind of relevant, and actually Edmonds has been the better back when they've both played in games this year. So I think they're both viable if you need it, especially with, you know, the running back position's a mess with buys and injuries. So, you know, you're probably forced to start both of them if you're in that situation.
Mm-hmm. A lot of talent to like in this game. And again, for our listeners, you're listening to episode 6 of the Jacobs Sports Dynasty podcast. Jacobs Dynasty Sports. Sorry, that's where the old man comes in as I get tired as the day goes on. With our special guest, KZ or Kenzales, Fans Fantasy on Twitter. And again, last year, number 3 ranked fantasy football expert by Fantasy Pros. What do we have up next?
We're going to continue on to the Seattle Seahawks versus the Rams, a divisional matchup. And I think pretty much every fantasy guy that you have is a must-start in this game. Seattle's defense, I think, has historically been one of the worst defenses up to this point. So that means you're starting Cooper Kupp, you're starting Robert Woods. Jared Goff, I recommend picking him up if you need a quarterback. Like if you have Pat Mahomes, he's on bye this week. I recommend a Jared Goff pickup. Darrell Henderson, if he's healthy, I recommend starting. Malcolm Brown, I recommend starting.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking more of a Malcolm Brown game because of the points. Seattle's going to put up points. The Rams aren't going to have, you know, an issue putting up points. I agree with everything you pointed out on the Rams side of the ball. You know, on Seattle, obviously, you've got Russell Wilson, who I think up until recently was considered to be the leading MVP candidate.
I think Mahomes is taking that over now.
I was going to say, I think it always goes back to Mahomes. But obviously, you know, you've got Tyler Lockett. You've got the freak, DK Metcalf, who just is amazing. You know, the Seattle backfield still needs to get sorted out. We'll keep an eye on the sort of injury report as the next couple of games come up. But KZ, what are your thoughts on that game? I mean, a lot to like from a fantasy perspective. Other than the defense.
I'm just going to – you are starting Russell Wilson. You're starting Tyler Lockett. You're starting DK Metcalf. The Rams are one of the toughest two teams in the league to pass against. You know, who does Ramsey take? Does he take DK Metcalf? Does he shadow him? So there's some hesitation there. Again, never sit your studs. You're gonna start those guys. I just like to point out sometimes that, you know, the expectation shouldn't be as high as it normally is with those guys. You know, especially Lockett owners who are disappointed. You know, he had the monster week and he did nothing, and you know, but that's what Lockett does. Right. DK has been really, really consistent this year. You know, I mean, Seattle can't stop the three of us if we were to throw this. And so, I mean, you're starting everybody for the Rams. The Rams backfield, I'm glad you mentioned that. Henderson, you know, was a little banged up the last time we saw him. Brown hasn't been good the last couple of times out. I'm not recommending this at all, but I just, since we're on tape, let's put it on tape. If there's ever a time, and I know we've all been waiting, but if there's ever a time...
Oh, I see where you're going.
The Cam Akers thing could happen this week.
Oh, that's a very good point.
Coming off the bye, we'll see what happens. I don't know that it's going to happen. We love the talent coming out of Florida State, but maybe if Henderson's a little bit banged up, maybe we see a little bit of Cam Akers and he becomes the top waiver wire pickup because I know he's been dropped in a lot of places. But yeah, I mean, we're starting everybody except pretty much our tight ends. I don't know that we can trust any of the tight ends in this game at this point. You know, Seattle, the Olsen thing, you know, it's good on paper, just hasn't worked. And there may not be a more disappointing player than Tyler Higbee in fantasy so far.
Oh my God, tell me about it. We both dropped him.
He's going to blow up at some point.
Yeah.
But guessing when that week is, you know, we can all do that. Yeah, so, yeah. But everybody else, we're starting. Just, you know, Rams are a good defense.
Yeah, I just want to mention a waiver pickup if you're in like a 12 or 14 team league is David Moore, who I think has found the end zone a couple of times in the past few weeks. So just a little tip if you need a guy.
I think that's a deep dive. People on bye, but
he's found the end zone. And I expect this to be a very high scoring game.
Absolutely.
We're going to continue on. 49ers versus the Saints. 49ers coming in extremely banged up. You got Nick Mullins at quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think Mostert is returning. I think he's ruled not. Out he's today, ruled even out. Though he's hopeful to play. So I think next week he'll be back. So
at least we know today it's not going to be a dance for the rest of the week.
Yeah, but I think Jerick McKinnon's most likely getting the start. They always seem to be changing up that backfield. It's Jamichael Hasty, Tevin Coleman, McKinnon. Looking at the wide receiver side for the 49ers, I think Debo's still going to stay out this week, but Brandon Ayuk is an interesting guy to start. I like him a lot this week. I know the Saints had a great defensive performance last week against the Buccaneers, but I like Ayuk this week.
Yeah, I think Ayuk might actually be the only startable guy on the 49ers offense just because everything else seems to be up in the air. You mentioned they'll be slightly healthier than last week when they had guys out because of COVID and near COVID and what have you. But I think the Saints really started to show some really good symmetry this past week. I mean, they had some down weeks. They came back. I really think in this game you're going to be looking on the Saints side of the ball for your fantasy plays. Obviously, you know, Drew Brees,
Kamara, Michael Thomas
is back now. Although I think Drew Brees threw to how many different receivers last week. I mean, Michael Thomas was my number one pick in one of my leagues. I'm excited to finally get him back, but I'm certainly going to start him because, as KZ said, you play your studs. But at the end of the day, I'm really hoping he's going to have one of these games that, like, a Davante Adams will have or DeAndre Hopkins will have.
15 catches.
Or Julio Jones will have. But the truth is that Breeze has a lot of options, and he's smart enough to use those options when he needs to. KZ, what's your take on this game?
Yeah, the 49ers are a mess. We know that. I mean, everybody's on IR. Ayuk is the only guy standing. May have some problems. Lattimore may on him. Malcolm Jenkins. Who knows?
Yeah.
Do they take him out of the game because I don't even know who else they have. I mean, Richie James Jr. could get another start. We saw him blow up. I mean, sort of like the David Moore thing. If you need a guy this week with injuries and bye weeks, he's probably going to get some run. I don't expect to see Debo this week. I'm out on the backfield for the 49ers just because I'm tired of being wrong as to which guy to pick each week.
Sure.
Last week you go against a Green Bay team that can't stop the run. And they decided not to even try to run. So I'm done. I joke with somebody. I dropped Hasty in all my leagues. I don't even want to be tempted. If he goes for two touchdowns this week, God bless him. Good for you. I'm not starting him. I don't want any piece of it. McKinnon, you keep around because seemingly he has a role no matter what. For the 49ers, I think the one thing you can look at, and it's a little bit of a difficult situation, is Jordan Reed and Ross Dwelly.
That's a very good point.
The Saints do not cover tight ends well. I think it's going to be Reed this week as he gets healthier. He was the guy early, and then kind of game got out of hand, and Dwelly got some catches late. But on the other side of the ball, I mean, look, we're starting our Saints. We're starting Thomas and Kamara and Jared Cook and Breeze. And, you know, I think if, again, if you need Emmanuel Sanders, great. I think that's as far as I go down the wide receiver food chain with the Saints. I'm not interested in Callaway or Smith, who caught one ball apiece. And yeah, it was a touchdown, but you know, that's great. But the 49ers are just a mess and they're tough to trust. And this is a great week to start the Saints defense as well. If we need a defense,
agreed,
especially in DFS, they're not the most expensive. They're not the cheapest. They're that nice middle of the road defense, I think can do well this week.
Yeah. I just want to mention another waiver guy. If you're in need of a tight end, if you have Travis Kelce on bye, this guy's actually on fantasy leagues. He's ranked as a tight end. Taysom Hill found the end zone last week. He's a Swiss Army knife, as a lot of people like to call him. Just maybe if you need a tight end, not a bad option.
Yeah, no. Listen, I
can't disagree. If he's a tight end in your system, mm-hmm, depending on what, every system is different. Yahoo, ESPN, Sleeper, whatever you're playing, they all list them differently. But if he is, yeah, and you're desperate, it's, you know he's going to get a couple of touches and maybe he'll throw a pass and who knows.
Yeah.
All right, we're down to three games. We got, as our next one, the last of the 4 o'clock games, the Bengals versus the Steelers. Steelers undefeated, but looked pretty vulnerable last week to a fourth string quarterback, Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the Cowboys needed something to draw inspiration from, but, you know, Steelers, they actually did have their bye week, so, but I think some of the chips and the dings might be catching up with them a little bit. You know, Big Ben took a shot in his knee. I think he's actually on the COVID out list right now, but he'll most likely be back in time for the game on Sunday. You know, James Conner's your running back there. You know, you've got the mix of wide receivers with Juju and Chase and Deontay Johnson. Is he healthy, Deontay Johnson?
I think he is healthy, yes.
Okay. And then, you know, obviously the Steelers' D is a must start. I do expect them to win this game, although I do expect Cincinnati to keep it closer than some people might think. It's usually, a tight game with these two teams. And, you know, on the Cincinnati side of the ball, you've got Burrow. If you need a quarterback there, the backfield, it's sounding like Mixon did not practice today. For those teams that have Gio Bernard, Gio Bernard's probably a start for you against a tough Steelers' D. I mean, He is that passing guy on top of the running, so he brings that to the table. And then, you know, you've got your wide receivers on Cincinnati, Tyler Boyd.
T. Higgins.
But T. Higgins, again, I actually forgot about T. Higgins. KZ, what are your thoughts on that game? With a tough Steelers team still undefeated, do they come out again with a win?
Probably so. I mean, Burrow has been great this year, but he has struggled against some of the better defenses this year. Steelers are weird. They're like in the top four toughest teams for quarterbacks and running backs, but they've given up like the eighth most or ninth most fantasy points to wide receivers. It's a really strange number to me, but what it tells me is that they get ahead and there's a lot of garbage time and you can beat them deep. So I like Higgins because of that. I think he's the deep threat. I always like Boyd in a PPR because he gets targeted so much. Burrow's probably outside my QB1 ranking this week because of the tough matchup. And like you said, we'll wait and see where Mixon, not great that Mixon didn't practice on Wednesday, but we'll see where that goes. Gio is a minimum running back too if Mixon is out again. And then there's the Steelers side, and look, you like Ben, you like all three wide receivers, but the guy I like the most is Eric Ebron. Eric Ebron scored in two straight weeks. He's getting targets more than you would expect with those three wide receivers there, and the Cincinnati Bengals are just awful against the tight end. I mean, just awful. I mean, it's anybody plays the Bengals or the Falcons, you start their tight end, the opposing tight end against them because they're that awful. The one that scares me a little bit is Connor, because you can also run on the Bengals. But last week, the Dallas Cowboys are one of the worst run defenses in the league until coming in the last week, and they shut Connor down, and the Steelers didn't even look like they were interested in running the football. So you worry a little bit about Connor, but, you know, the Bengals have given up, you know, the eighth or ninth most points to fantasy running backs, so you probably are forced to start them, but just a pause for me because of last week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Great.
We're down to our final two games, Sunday Night Football, the Ravens versus the Patriots. This is a rematch, I think, of week 8 last year when the Patriots were 7-0.
Although it's a much different team.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson took them down. I think this is the week where Lamar finally gives fantasy owners what they want. I know in New England's defense, they weren't good last week, but I think this is the week Lamar goes off. I think Marquise Brown has a solid day if Stephon Gilmore's still out. I think Mark Andrews is finally going to get more targets. I think J.K. Dobbins is going to have a solid game. And looking at the Patriots side, Cam Newton, I think, gets his rushing touchdown, so he's solid at that aspect. When it comes to passing, he really only has one target, Jacoby Myers, who came out of nowhere
impressive.
Last week.
I mean, he's been very impressive. But, you know, I agree with you. And for those people out there looking for the stretch run in fantasy, Lamar Jackson does have a very good schedule. Although he definitely has shown some regression this year as teams catch on. I actually saw him say today, he hears defenses calling out their plays. But KZ, what's your take with these guys? I mean, you're right down there, right? You're in Maryland, so.
I am. I'm a Ravens fan. And they've been frustrating. I actually wrote today or actually Tuesday morning, that Lamar was my top trade for target because the matchups down the stretch are just absolutely incredible during your fantasy playoffs. But he has not been good. Now, last week he looked a little better. Teams are not allowing Lamar and the Ravens offense to do what they did last year. They're taking away the deep ball. They're making him complete passes underneath. And they're taking away his running as much as they can. Here's what we know about New England. New England is not a good offensive football team. You stop Cam Newton, and you win the game. Jacoby Myers is going to be targeted. He's been, the third most targeted wide receiver over the last 3 weeks. I can think that will continue. The problem is that the Ravens know that, and, you know, he may have a Humphrey problem when it's all said and done. Marlon may shadow him, because who else would you shadow?
Sure.
If you're the Ravens, I don't even know who their other wide receivers are. I don't love Myers this week. The running back situation, Harris has an issue. You can't run on the Ravens anyway, so that doesn't really interest me. Maybe James White, because the Ravens do not cover running backs out of the backfield real well. We'll see if that happens. But I think Lamar has a solid game. I don't think this is the coming out week,
right?
Because, and the reason I say that is the Patriots are still, although they're not the Patriots of old, are still famous for taking away what you do best. And the only way to beat the Ravens is to take away Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So I think they limit him. I think they win the game pretty easily. But I don't think it's the two passing touchdown, two rushing touchdown week that we're all waiting for. And it's coming from Lamar, but I don't think it's this week.
Okay. Finishing up the slate of games we're highlighting on this week's show of Vikings-Bears on Monday Night Football. Ugh. So I have to ask you, KZ, I was looking at your rankings today. I have David Montgomery on one of my teams. I think he suffered a concussion this past week, but with the long... You know, the extra day to get to Monday Night Football, I guess there's a pretty good chance he's going to play, although if people have other options, they might not want to take a chance. He's a volume-based plotter, but you do have him ranked extremely high this week. So I was curious to hear what your thoughts on why David Montgomery should be ranked so high and what your other thoughts are on this game.
So I'm actually lower than most of the experts on him. And I don't know, when it's all said and done, I will keep him. I think I had him something like 15th or 16th in my rankings, something like that. he is as frustrating a guy as we have, because he gets so much volume. He's the only running back they use.
Yep.
He gets all the rushes. He gets all the catches, the targets out of the backfield, and he does absolutely nothing with them. He is the definition of a touchdown dependent running back for 2020 in fantasy football. The only good news about all of this is that the Minnesota Vikings stink on defense. They don't rush the passer well. They're middle of the pack against running backs. They're bottom three against wide receivers. They give up a ton of catches to running backs. So there's some hope there. And that's why, you gotta, as bad as he's been, you can't ignore how many touches he gets a week and who he's playing.
Right.
And that's why I actually have him as high as I do, because I would have him outside of my top, 24 if I could, because he's just been that bad. But that's where he is right now. We'll see. There's a lot of injuries that we have to get through. Where does Chris Carson fit into all this? Does he play? Where does Joe Mixon fit into all this? Does he play? Those things, because of things like that we don't know, and because of things like San Francisco that we do know, and I'm just out of the San Francisco 49er backfield business, that's why he's as high as he is.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Mention real quick, a tight end, if you're looking for one. Like I said, you have Travis Kelce on bye, Jimmy Graham for the Bears, and Irv Smith, actually, who had two touchdowns last week. He doesn't get a lot of targets, but I think he's a big red zone guy for them. So if you're looking for a non-PPR guy,
That's good tips, Jordan. I think you got to start Adam Thielen in a tough matchup. I have him on one of my teams. I mean, as you said, you start your studs. Dalvin Cook, obviously, forget about it. This guy's a no-brainer with his statistics the last couple weeks. And on the Bears side, Allen Robinson, Mooney, maybe.
Cordarrelle Patterson, if Montgomery's out. I think he's the only running back left.
Yeah.
That about if Montgomery's out, you're going to get a bunch of Ryan Nall. If he's available in your waiver wire, he scored last week after Montgomery went out. A kid that they did like. During whatever training camp they had. And I think Justin Jefferson outscores Thielen this week. Mm-hmm. The Bears, Fuller takes care of the number one wide receiver and will travel with Thielen. I think what you've been getting out of Thielen is what you're going to get this week, which means he's a touchdown dependent wide receiver. If he scores a touchdown, he's going to be just fine for you. But I think that they've struggled against the number two wide receivers the Bears have. So I think that Justin Jefferson's a guy that I know some people are down on, but I think he has a good week.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, I have to say, it's almost been an hour talking about football. It seems to fly by when you have people talking about stuff they love. It's been our pleasure. Again, for our listeners out there, we're joined again this week by Ken Zales, KZ, at Fans Fantasy on Twitter. And again, I mean, I can't state it enough times because I think it's just fantastic when you look at the rankings, Fantasy Pros rankings. And again, like you said, last year, Ken, number three of all the experts out there. And this season, last couple of weeks, he's been in the top 10. It doesn't get much better than that. It's our honor to have him on the show and join us this evening. And hopefully we'll have him again at some point in the future.
Yep.
KZ, thanks so much for joining us. If you want to call attention to any of your social media handles or anything like that, please feel free to go ahead. Websites, go ahead.
Yeah, you said it great, at Fans Fantasy on Twitter. And for my stuff, just go to pressboxonline.com. And every week, everything's on there, from Tuesday through Sunday, including my rankings, which are updated four times a week. So I really appreciate you guys having me on. Like you said, an hour flies by when you're talking football, especially fantasy football. We could do this forever. But, best of luck with the show. And anytime you want me back, just let me know.
Thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.